Welcome to the Inspired Women Podcast, where your hosts connect you with inspirational women from around the globe and chat about topics relevant to today's modern woman. Here are your hosts.
Hi, I'm Julie Clyde. I'm the CEO of Julie Clyde Creative. I bring my passion for branding, design, and marketing to help female entrepreneurs distinguish themselves from the everyday logos and brands. We collaborate with our clients with honesty, integrity, and passion as we progress their brands with a clear, defined brand image that is authentic to them in every way. Welcome to our podcast. And here is my co-host and BFF, Megan.
Hi, I'm Megan Hall of Megan Hall Motivation. I help women manage their chaos and create a life that they love to live. And I got interested in what I do right now is because oftentimes women get stressed and overwhelmed with everything in their lives that they just need somebody to say, hey, if you do this, this will help relieve some of that stress and some of that chaos, and you'll be able to totally rock it. So that's what I do. And we are on episode number 6 of the podcast. This is so exciting. We're here with Katie Blevins. She is the co-founder of the Modern Femme Movement. And I met Katie at a twin mom group here in Virginia. And we weren't really friends, but then recently, about like a year and a half ago, became reconnected. And she got me connected with Business Among Moms and Modern Femme. And it's just been this whirlwind of awesomeness. And I've really enjoyed it. So Katie, I would love for you to share with our audience what brought you to where you are today. I know you had a lot of adversity that you overcame, and I think that our audience could really connect with that and see that there is hope, even though, you know, it might seem everything's falling in on your head, that there's hope. There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, very much so. It's funny. This is the first moment. I often forget that all three of us have twins. So it's exciting for me even to realize that we share that kind of similar chaos in our day-to-day lives. But first, you know, let me just say thank you for having me on. It's always exciting to share my story and obviously watching you guys grow and develop by way of Modern Femme has been a huge blessing for me and something I'm really excited about. For me personally, things were not always the beautiful, perfect, you know, awesome that you see today. And I say that, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, because the reality is I'm still not, perfectly perfect. And I don't ever intend to be, quite frankly. I've just become more confident and comfortable in my vulnerabilities and in the beauty of my imperfections and realizing that my life is a lot more awesome when I show up and share what's actually going on in it versus showing up and only sharing what I think other people want to hear. And that's really where my journey started. I had a long career in sales and marketing, climbing the corporate ladder, you know, achieving, you know, top merits, you name it. I was able to tackle it and overcome it. I was building a successful business as an entrepreneur, as a photographer and a studio owner. I had the twins, had a beautiful daughter, amazing husband, all of these things that were projected to the outward world, a successful mommy blog with Chaos and Kiddos, that I was just, you know, living the life, that everything was perfect. And I remember people would always say to me, I don't know how you do it. And at the time, I took that as a compliment and like, oh, thank you. I don't know. I do what I can, you know, the usual kind of lame response. And I learned later on that that wasn't actually a compliment. It was a moment of disconnect that they were saying, I don't know how you do it. And in that way, they weren't able to relate to me. And it was kind of setting them up for failure and equipping their failure because they didn't feel like it was attainable. The life that I was projecting and the life that I was sharing with them didn't feel like something they were able to do themselves. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't put it in their brains as to how they might make changes in their own life to live similarly to me. Just created this constant cycle of either competitiveness or hopelessness, or just a lack of connection, a lack of deep, authentic friendship. But the reality was that which I was projecting was not the truth. It was completely and utterly false. I didn't have the perfect marriage. In fact, my husband was cheating on me. He had a drinking problem. Things were falling apart behind the scenes. My teenage daughter was going through, you know, more than the average volume of teenage experiences in trauma and, you know, throw twins into the bunch. Just nothing was what it seemed is really the long and the short of it. And when I reached that point of being tired with projecting that perfection, I just dropped the curtain and got real with everybody real fast. And admittedly, that first moment was terrifying because you go from everybody thinking you have it all together to everyone realizing that you don't. And not only do you not, but it's burning gloriously in a huge pile of flames, like a la Jerry Springer style. So it wasn't even like this gentle shift into, this is not exactly me. It was more like rip at down the curtain and watch it burn. And that was a scary moment. But what I realized is that that's when I started connecting with people. And that's when people started to show up in my life in a different way. Not because, you know, they were grabbing popcorn in a chair and wanted to watch things burn, but because they wanted to contribute and help and love and support and encourage. And then I think, you know, as time went on and I started to heal and rebuild and Modern Femme was born, you know, in partnership with Summer, and she has her own personal journey, you know, that fuels her passion for Modern Femme. It just created a space where people could have safe conversations, where we could learn and grow and develop at our own pace, on our own terms, be honest about the ups and the downs. And I realized that when I share my vulnerabilities, that equips other people's hope and their abilities to make changes in their lives, because then it seems like it's within range. It seems something that they can tackle themselves. I don't know how you do it anymore. And I'm really happy about that. So that's kind of a roundabout way of my journey, excuse me, of what brought me here. And I'm still learning and growing and changing and recovering and rebuilding from that kind of darker period in my life. But it's nice to be in a space where I can look back in gratitude and say that I'm thankful for even the very worst of the moments, because they really equipped my heart for where we are today and what we're doing with Modern Femme.
Oh, I love that. And as everybody knows by now, if they've been listening to the podcast, Jules and I like officially became BFFs at Modern Femme. And if it wasn't for Modern Femme, we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast together. And it's done so much for Jules and I on a personal level. But I would love to hear, what is your hope? What do you hope women will get out of Modern Femme when they attend? Which they have the convention coming up in May. We will provide the link in the show notes. If you're a woman and you want to connect with other women, I highly suggest you come, because it'll blow your mind. You can be a woman of any walk of life and you will get something out of it. So what are you hoping that people get out of the Modern Femme movement?
I hope that they get out of it exactly what the two of you got out of it. You know, I would love to say that we're sparkling Care Bear friendships all over the world. But I think that, you know, you two are a special pair in having the stars align with your personalities and your shared interests. You know, but I think fundamentally, both of your personal stories are exactly what we hope to see more people experience when they participate in Modern Femme, whether it's at the convention or it's in the Growth Accelerator programs or it's in the online community. You know, all of the different ways that we're developing for people to participate, both here locally in Hampton Roads and, you know, on a global scale. But it's both of you showed up not really knowing why you were there. You knew that you wanted something. You knew that you were thirsty for community and for inspiration and for drive and for some guidance on, you know, on what business you were going to build, on what life you were going to build for yourself, how you were going to navigate family and your dreams, how you were going to feel purposeful or worthy. I think for both of you, it really started with that mindset piece of stepping into a space where you felt safe enough to really consider, what are my dreams? What is the life that I dream about? What do I enjoy? What makes me happy? What makes me feel passionate and inspired? You know, that's really where it starts. And then giving yourself permission to go after that. And I want the people that participate in Modern Femme to feel that they can have those conversations. They can go through that exploration and that discovery. And then they have the support of the women around them. They have the support of the programs and the teachers and the participants, you know, from the top all the way to the bottom, that whatever that personal definition of success is, whatever that life looks like for them, and it truly is their life, not their sisters, their bosses, their neighbors, their brothers, their friends. It's getting to that space where they're living authentically and projecting the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, showing up in the space the way they want to. knowing that they're going to be celebrated and have access to the resources and the education and the support systems that will help them make those changes at their pace, on their terms. If things pivot or change or life happens, they're going to have a tribe of people that are going to support and encourage and celebrate them through that. But they'll also be able to build the accountability, you know, and the trust in a tribe that, you know, when we start sharing our vulnerabilities and telling people the things that we're challenged with or the things that we want to achieve, when we start sharing our dreams and our goals, it builds an accountability, not in a pressure cooker where it's like, oh my gosh, I told people I would do this. I have to do it or I'm going to be a failure. Oh my God. You know, it's not that way at all. It's building that accountability and that trust of knowing that you have friends that love you enough to say, you know, hey, I know this was something that was important to you. I see that you are having some trouble with it. I think that I can help here. Can I help you? Or I want to encourage you that, you know, this is one of the goals that you set and I think you're almost there and I want to just tell you you're doing a good job and to keep going, you know, and hey, it looks like something's changed here. How can I help? What can I do? What's changed? Tell me your story. Sometimes just saying those things out loud, it's very restorative for us. It helps us think. It helps us process. And I think we can all admit to needing a little accountability. It's very easy for us to veer off course. And hopefully Modern Femme kind of serves as that true north where you're surrounded by other people that are, you know, intimately invested in your personal path and are actively listening and want to participate in how you come to your thriving, you know, whatever that may be. So you don't have to be an entrepreneur. A lot of them tend to be small business owners or have, you know, side businesses or all the way up to CEOs and independently owned operations. But a lot of them are working moms, stay-at-home moms, career professionals. It's really meeting every woman where they are and developing a space where they can feel confident and capable of creating the life of their dreams, surrounded by people that support and encourage that, whatever it looks like.
I was going to say, that's where Megan really came into play for me because I was so lost coming into Modern Femme, like genuinely didn't know what I wanted to do, where I was going or how I was feeling. I actually wanted to go back to Australia. And then it was like Megan came in bouncing in on the first day of convention. She literally bounced through the door, this bubble of sunshine, and went, hi, I remember you from the, I think it was Business Among Mums that we did with the Planet Wellness over at the Slova Library. And she said, I remember you. We're going to be really good friends.
That sounds exactly like Megan.
But she then literally held me accountable but also held my hand and kicked my ass at the same time when I was planning like the creative launch in the July after Modern Femme, and to the point that we've giggled about it already, but I was calling her from the framing shop saying, I don't want to go and pick up these frames. What if they didn't work? What if they're terrible? She's like, oh my God, just go and pick them up. Like, and that's really like grown and strengthened our friendship, because I know that if I'm having a day like that, I can send her a message or ring her and say, Megs, I'm having a really bad day, or, you know, this isn't going well, or this went really awesome today. And I know that it works both ways. And that really stemmed from the Modern Femme and like the friendship and the relationships that were built not only at that convention but afterwards through like the Spark series, Business Among Mums, and all the other little services and products and just the tribe behind us. It's been phenomenal.
And that's what we hope, because the reality is if we don't surround ourselves with people like that, the only voices we're listening to are the ones in our head. And we know historically that those are the most unfriendly voices that we encounter. Our inner critic is a formidable force, and they're going to tell us the absolute worst case scenario every single time. That, you know, when you call Megan up and say, you know, I don't want to pick these up because they probably look horrible. You know, the likelihood that they look horrible is very small, so much small that it made Megan laugh and be like, that's ridiculous, just go pick them up. You know, but sometimes we need people that allow us to see that voice in our head in a different way, and acknowledge that it's lying, and that it's most likely to tell us something that's not true, or that's not even, maybe there's a teeny tiny version of truth, a little bit of fear that maybe they won't look exactly how I want it. But then you can adjust and you can change and you can pivot. Or maybe one person doesn't like the podcast, but 300 people do. You know, we don't want to create a bubble where everything is perfect all the time, or that there's no fear, or there's no pain, or there's no trauma. All of these things exist, but it's setting up that metric of not allowing our heads to create a space where we're literally living according to the worst case scenario that is exceptionally unlikely to happen.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We launched this podcast imperfectly. Anybody who listened to episode one or two, my husband was like, so I have some feedback for you. And it was nice. It was constructive criticism. And he's like, maybe you should have some music and you need an outro. And he's like, but otherwise, maybe work on the sound a little bit, but it sounds great, babe. And I was like, oh, thanks. But we launched it imperfectly because if we waited for it to be perfect, which it never will be, it would never get launched. We'd still be sitting here like, do, 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 do. But part of Modern Femme is that community and support aspect, and I don't want people to overlook that. But I would love for you, Katie, to share with our audience how Modern Femme has changed your life. Now, when I look at Modern Femme, I see you and Summer as not so much as the leaders, but as the people who helped start this. But Modern Femme is more like it belongs to everybody that's a part of it. But you belong to it, and you're a part of it, and it's obviously probably changed your life in some way, shape, or form. And I'd love to hear how it has.
Well, sure. You know, I think I'm a completely different person. You know, when I think back to the Katie that was the top salesperson and was clawing her way up the corporate ladder, you know, and I want to pause there and say there's nothing wrong with that. I think being driven and ambitious in a sales environment, it is a great thing. And I think that people that want to achieve those high merits and want to get to the top of the company, that's important. If that works for them and that's something that fuels their fire, like, I think that they should go for it. So I want to be real clear that I'm not sitting on one side of the camp that any one way is good and every other way is wrong. But particularly for me, when I lived in that space where I was only projecting what I thought people wanted to see and hear, you know, Summer calls her Dark Katie, but Dark Katie was alive and well. I was not a kind person. I was exceptionally competitive. I was very edgy. I was not friendly. I mean, the long and short of it is that I was pretty bitchy. And I think that people were scared of me. I remember my mom being afraid to tell me that she had a different opinion than me because she said, you're so intimidating. And I remember being like, that sucks. Like, she's my mom. Like, why would my mom be afraid of me? And the reality was that I was not creating a space that allowed for anybody to operate other than on my terms. And that's not a very fair space for them, certainly. And it wasn't fair for me either. And I ended up feeling pretty lonely in my marriage and the workplace and feeling burnt out and exhausted and just kind of tired of the whole thing. And then when my kids came, you know, you have that moment of shifting your perspective, like, oh my gosh, do I want to pour every ounce of myself into my work and have nothing left for my family? And realizing that the answer to that was no, I didn't want my work to get the best of me and my family to get the last bit of me. Unfortunately, at that point in my time, some things were too far gone, you know, and I take ownership over the things that I did in my previous marriage and the things that I wish I could have had the opportunity to change, but I didn't come into that space of awareness until kind of that ship had sailed out of port. And at that point, even while I made the changes with myself internally, that there wasn't going to be the repair to that relationship as a whole. And what I see myself now is that I see myself being open and being kind. I don't have the panic attacks and the anxiety, and yes, my OCD is still alive and well, but I feel like I say I use my superpowers for good now. I think it makes me a functional business owner and a good leader and a great educator. But it's not creating a world where everybody has to live up to certain standards that are unfair. You know, my house looks lived in. It doesn't look, you know, sterilized. I can listen to people's stories and make time for people, you know, and it's not a perfect system. I have bad days and good days, and the two of you among everybody else know how ridiculous my calendar is sometimes, and I still need to be held in check and reined in and reminded that I can't overwork myself and I can't do everything by myself. But I feel like I am a different person now. I feel like I lead with love and interest first instead of what's in it for me and who am I competing with and how do I beat them. And that's a much more peaceful place to be. It's still a little scary for me because even in my marriage now with Matt, I have to learn how to trust somebody enough to let my guard down. You know, we talked about it at the burn party that I really don't like physical touch. And I know that that is a remnant of my previous marriage and some of the abuses that I encountered there. And learning how to love my husband in a healthy marriage is going to be a long process for me. But I think it's the difference is that awareness is that I see it and I'm working on it. And I feel like I have people that are supporting me through that. And that's the difference. Before it was like, this is a problem. Katie's going to fix it because Katie's the only person that can fix it. And inevitably I'm fixing it in the wrong way. Or I'm just completely avoiding the problem altogether. So now I feel like I'm in a space where the greater good and fellowship and friendship and God's love and my purpose and my peace and feeling like I'm cultivating an environment where other people can thrive. And that's more important to me than sometimes than even my own thriving. I feel like I can say that Katie is kind now, and I couldn't say that before. So for me, that's something I kind of hold on to as the biggest difference. But there's, I mean, your program's not long enough for me to talk about all the different ways that I've been personally transformed.
No, I have known you for what my twins had to been like one maybe when I joined that group. Ours are almost the same age. Or are they the same age? They're all five, right?
Yep, they're all five right now.
So they it was 4 years ago I met you. You were a completely different person. Like, I couldn't have a conversation with you because I'm like, I don't think she likes me very much.
Well, and I remember being, and I'm going to be totally transparent here because we're at that space in our friendship, and this is not the first time I've told you this, so it's not going to be some, like, earth-shocking bomb on air.
Yeah.
But on the other side of the fence, I remember being like, that chick is way too happy and way too bubbly and she's freaking annoying, you know? And that was such a, like, to see where you have transformed, because I do think that, you know, and we've talked about your personal journey as well. When you were showing in that space, you just desperately wanted to belong and you were fighting to facilitate relationships that weren't being reciprocated. That was both people's problem on both sides of the fence. So it was both of our problem that you were overcompensating. You're obviously very bubbly and have a huge personality on a daily basis. So we weren't too far of a departure from who Megan actually is, but your intentions were in this desperation of wanting to connect and engage. And I only fueled that insecurity in you because on the other side of the fence was this little bitchy, like, don't touch me, sunshine care bear, go back to the land of, you know, fruity pebbles, and I'll stay here in the real world. You know, both sides of the fence were very, very wrong at that time. And it just continued to, we didn't butt heads. There was no fighting. It was a mom's group. Although there's totally lots of drama llamas. We won't even go there. But at that time, neither one of us was in a space where we could see the possibility of a true friendship because neither one of us were in a space where we were leading with an authentic interest in the other person. We're leading with what we needed in that space and where we were. And so it completely missed the mark. So it's exciting for me to be like, man, 4 years later, completely different environment because both of us have changed for the better. That's really exciting. And I don't think that happens often.
No, I have to say, like, you're right, because I don't get, like, butthurt or anything by what you say because it's so true. I used to try so hard to fit in that I came from a place of desperation because I'm like, I need you to accept me. I love you. I love you. Please love me too. And now I just come off, I'm still positive and bubbly and you know, shoot rainbows at my bottom. But it comes from a place of, this is me. If you like me, cool. If you don't, that's awesome because I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And I feel like with you is you're coming from a more authentic place with your personality and you're really giving a solid effort to be like, this is me. I'm showing up imperfectly. You can accept me as I am, or you can go on your merry way. And I love seeing that.
Like, it's a much nicer place to be in. I mean, it makes me, I've had to, I don't feel guilty in this second because I'm letting go of that and I'm living in the present and seeing the positive change that's happened. But there has been periods where I had to navigate a lot of guilt for my children, for my ex-husband, of realizing that I made life very difficult for the people around me. Like, how unfair is it that you just wanted to be loved and you're coming in like spewing sunshine, just please somebody show me love. And I sat there with my arms crossed and my eyebrow raised with an attitude, you know, and I use it as an example, you know, because obviously we're having the conversation, but the reality was I was pretty much doing that with everyone in my life, including my husband, including my children. And I remember when I first, I actually took medication for a while. When I first was going through my divorce, I was having lots of panic attacks. And so I got on medication for a little while. And when I started to feel better, I had this awareness moment of like, holy crap, I have been a miserable human being for a long time. And I had no idea, because I didn't even know that even apart from my internal soul and my code of moral ethics being kind of off course, there was also the chemical reactions that were going on in my brain because of my OCD, that things weren't firing properly. And that just brewed up a whole lot of dark Katie storm. Like, I was not making life easy for anyone.
That's the past.
No, I was just going to say that's me too. Since Modern Femme, maybe a couple of months before, and all this work and journey that we've been on, Chris actually sat down one night, probably I think about August, September last year, we were out having dinner, and he said to me, I need to tell you that it's so nice and refreshing to see you so happy and so confident. He said, you're really blossoming. He said, whatever Modern Femme was, he said, you need to do that more often. He said, it's so refreshing to see happy Jules. Because I was doing the same thing, Katie. I was absolutely vile to him for a really long time. And it did have much to do with resentment for him being away for so long. Like, he left when T was 6 months old, and he was back and forth literally for a weekend here and there until she was 4 and a half. And we had the twins, and I got postnatal, and he'd come home thinking that, you know, we could travel, we could do all these things, and I just wasn't in the capacity to be able to function like that. And when we first came to America, it was like that all just got exacerbated 50-fold. And I remember walking down to Farm Fresh, which is 6K away. I don't know what that is in miles. Someone can work it out.
More than most people are walking to the grocery store these days.
It was 100-degree day. I was in flip-flops and I was not prepared and it was stinking hot, and I walked back and I had blisters and I was feral, and I sat on the front doorstep and I cried, and he came out and went, what on earth was that? And I went, I don't know. It was so frustrating. And that was that realization moment of, what the hell is going on here? Like, I have been miserable and I need to do better, and I have this wonderful family, but I was so disconnected from them, and the kids were paying for it, and Chris was paying for it, and I was as well, because nothing I did satisfied that place in me that needed the care and attention that I wasn't giving it. So everybody else suffered.
That's true, and I'm glad that you said that, Jules, because that's one of the things we talk about a lot with Modern Femme, is that we, especially as women, you know, and everybody does this and everybody can relate to this, but especially as women, we tend to put self-care last on the list, and we tend to martyr ourselves and wear too many hats and say yes to too many things and self-sabotage, when the reality is we're not doing anybody any favors, because what's left of us at the end of the day are these remnants and these shreds that end up hurting the people that are most important to us, you know, and we continue to grapple with this guilt of, you know, feeling bad when we take time for ourselves or take time to refresh or just take time to spend with other women or to consider what we want out of life. You know, convincing people to attend Modern Femme is a bit of a challenge, just because a lot of us, you know, and Jules, you know this more personally than anyone, won't give ourselves permission to step away from life for a couple of days so that we can take some time for me, for Katie, for Julie, for Megan. You know, but when we don't do that, we turn into these monsters, and then everybody loses. So we think we're saving the world and we think we're doing all the things the way we're supposed to. But in reality, you know, not taking that time for ourselves is making it so much worse for the people around us than if we do take that time and they have to pinch hit or step in, you know, and hey, be effective parents because they're completely and totally capable. You know, we have to allow other people to contribute. We cannot do it all by ourselves. Because we turn into just these ugly little she-beasts.
She-beasts. That's so funny.
Yes.
Both of you have, all of us have changed immensely in the last, Oh my gosh, almost a year. In May, it'll be a year since the first Modern Femme convention. And I've seen such growth in everybody that's attended. And Kitty, we would love to have you on again, you know, in a later time to share more. But we don't want to have our podcast going an hour and a half long because none of us have that time. And when I listen to podcasts that are an hour and a half long, I'm like, unless I really, 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 really love it, I'm like, no, this is too long. No, I don't think so. So I'm going to wrap it up here with our final questions. So our first one is, what does authenticity mean to you?
That's a good one. And I think I gave you an answer before, and this is probably going to be completely different. Authenticity is one of those buzzwords that we're hearing right now. And I just want to caution people to be very careful how they use it. Don't use it unless you mean it. Sometimes we find these buzzwords that we apply to things, especially as business owners, especially when we're in a consultative or a community-based, space. So my first thing would be just really consider what authenticity really means, and use that word cautiously, because we want it to be one of those words that we cherish and we use it to note something that's different, that stands apart from everything else. And if we don't hold fast to that, then everything becomes authentic and then everything becomes unauthentic. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. For me, authenticity just means being able to show up exactly as I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and know that I am representing the truest form of myself, not the perfect form, but the truest form and the most hopeful form. And making sure that when I build relationships professionally and personally, that I'm holding true to that ideal of allowing them that same courtesy, that they can show up and, you know, let their guard down and be vulnerable and be honest and feel that they're protected and cherished and loved. That is a truly authentic relationship. That can navigate the storms just as powerfully as we can navigate the good days, and where everybody chips in and there's a collective interest. And then for me personally, it's just setting those boundaries and systems in place to make sure that I don't slide back into projecting that which I think other people want to hear, which is a daily choice. We'll be battling that individually and collectively, you know, for the rest of time.
But you make a solid effort to do that. Like your burn party, for example, whether you did it intentionally or not, that was an environment for women to open up. So anybody who doesn't know what a burn party is, or there's probably different burn parties, is we all wrote what we wanted to leave behind in 2016 on an index card. And then we also wrote it again on another index card, which is going in an envelope so we can be reminded next year, did you actually do what you're supposed to do or not? But everybody went around and shared very vulnerably what they wanted to leave behind. And there were tears and there was a lot of emotion and everybody was prayed over it. But it was a space that we all could be authentically ourselves. Like, and I agree with you. It should not be used mildly when people are like, I'm being authentic. And I'm like, really? Are you? Are you really right now being authentic? Are you being you right now? Are you putting on this face? But that was, you make a solid effort of having these different things go on throughout the year that women have the right to show up as they are without judgment and be who they really are. And I really enjoy that because it's a wonderful way to connect with other women.
Yeah. And what I loved most about the people that showed up for the burn party is that it was a group of people that I don't often see together. Maybe one or two of them I see together in one space and one or two of them I see together in another space, or we're all kind of together by way of, you know, some distant connection. But we had some new people, we had some old friends, we had, just a whole range. And I feel like everybody was able to share from the hearts and be comfortable with tears and be comfortable with the fear of sharing those things that we're challenged with other people. And I think that that's the cool part about Modern Femme, is that this is not a tribe that if you weren't in it from day one, you know, you've missed the boat and you're going to try and get in and you're going to be behind the ball. This is a space that we're creating that at any point in time when you decide to access it, you're going to find that community and that support and that encouragement. And that was something that was really special for me at the burn party to see and know that I'm on the right track with what I'm hoping to build for women on a larger scale.
I completely agree. Our second question is, how do you make time for self-care?
That was my answer too.
So remember the whole thing that Modern Femme exists because we're all sharing the same challenges. You know, I'll be totally honest, like Modern Femme in part exists because selfishly I need the accountability and the learning and the exploration just as much as every other person that participates in it. And there are things that I create and programs and ideas that I put into play purely because I know that they'll be good for me. And one of those is those constant checks and balances for how am I making time for myself. That's something I'm really working on this year. And it's not just time for myself. Self-care for me is when I take time with my family and with my children. Yes, I need my alone time, but Dark Katie can thrive on her own for a very long time. So that's not necessarily the path I take. My path needs to be, what are things that are social, that are not work-related, that allow me to just relax and breathe and enjoy the people that are around me. So my big thing this year is growing Modern Femme to a place where we can bring on more team members, where more people can participate in carrying the burden and growing it with us and shouldering the load so that I don't feel as intimately responsible for that and letting that dictate my days. Now, having said that, yesterday I was on the road by 7 o'clock and I didn't get home until 8 o'clock. And after this podcast, I'm about to hit the road and I won't be home again until right before the Business Among Moms meeting when everyone will show up at my house. So I say all that because it's important to note that I am a work in progress, just like everyone else in Modern Femme. And self-care is probably the area where I am most challenged still because I am a mom. I am a wife. I am, you know, a female entrepreneur. The plate is very, very full. And I'm learning that the best way that I can manage that is by asking for help and accessing the community at Modern Femme and building the team around me that can help share that burden and who will hold me accountable and tell me when I'm working too hard and remind me that I need to slow down. Because I don't want to make the same mistakes in this marriage that I made in my past one. And my kids are growing up quickly and, you know, I'm not going to miss it.
Yeah, self-care is a huge portion of what I teach my clients because that's a huge struggle for women in general, and I work with busy women, is self-care is taking that time for us. And I agree with you. It's not all about exercise and sleeping well, but I tell my clients it's about what's filling your bucket. Like we all are a bucket. And what is filling up your bucket? That can be time with your family. That could be having cocktails with your girlfriends because you haven't seen them in forever. That can be deciding to stay home and watch Game of Thrones instead of going to a networking event because you just don't have it in you to do it that day. And that's all about the self-care. So I completely agree with you. It's not just what people think it is, like exercise and eating right and sleeping well. No, there's way more to self-care. It's taking care of yourself, filling up your bucket, which can include all of the other people in your life. So our next question is, what is your biggest struggle as a modern woman?
That's a good one. I think that society as a whole still operates under this assumption that a woman is supposed to be able to do everything and be everything and still slap a smile on and still be a size two and, you know, have time for the gym and have time to bake and have time to put a meal on the table and run a business and do all the laundry and go to cocktail parties. There's still a lot being projected out by the media and by society as a whole that does not create a space for women to take a breath. And I certainly continue to feel those pressures. I think I'm combating them pretty head on with Modern Femme. And that's really where we hope to have a global dialogue that turns that perspective on its axis. But it's not easy out there for professional women. There's still a lot of misrepresentation and, you know, inequalities and, you know, uphill battles that we still have to climb. And I think, you know, our current political climate will only continue to make that more difficult if we don't actively come together and participate in the conversation that changes the way we approach the planet. You know, so for me individually, that's what we're doing with Modern Femme, is trying to redefine success and redefine life in a way that allows the modern woman to be able to go after her dreams and build something for herself professionally but also, and also, it shouldn't be but also, and also be able to cherish and protect her time for her family and her personal interests and not see that as a weakness. You know, I would love for every employee, and these are human issues, they're not just women. I'd love for every single person to be able to go to their job and feel that they can put their very best into their career, whatever it is that it is, whether they work for themselves or for someone else, but then also feel like when their kid's soccer game comes up that they can step away with zero judgment, zero guilt. And the same goes for people that, you know, don't have kids and aren't parents. You know, it's not just a working mom's thing. You know, the single person who's working hard to climb up the corporate ladder shouldn't be expected to stay until 11 o'clock because they don't have anything else. They don't have anyone else or nothing better to do. You know, it's just the modern person needs to acknowledge that success is interwoven with our personal life. And if we only drive towards professional success, there's a big chasm that we're leaving behind that really means we're not successful at all.
I say to my clients to create the foundation for the life that you want to live. It involves being yourself, authenticity. And I mean, like, really being yourself. What feels good to you? What do you enjoy? What makes you not stress out and overwhelm? The next thing would be self-care, is taking care of yourself. But the final thing is those relationships in your life. If all you're doing is working all day long and not cultivating those relationships, it's going to be a very big void in your life. So there needs to be a balance of all of those things. And the balance will never be perfect. One thing will be on the lower end. Maybe it just means you're taking, one of my clients takes 15 minutes three times a day to do some sort of exercise. That's what she can do. And that's amazing. And the fact that she's actually getting that in and making that time for that is amazing. And some people, that might be an hour at the gym. For me, it's 30 minutes. And if it's any more than 30 minutes, I don't care. I'm not going to do it. The next thing is, share with our audience one tip for creating positive relationships with others.
Probably the biggest tip is to become more self-aware. And that's a magic little buzzword that we hear being tossed around pretty loosely as well. But I do really think that that's the foundation of our relationships. You have to understand who you are first and foremost. How do you show up in the world? You know, what's your personality? How do you communicate? What are your strengths? You know, I'm a big proponent of taking personality quizzes, of doing, you know, the Clifton Strength Finder, you know, not so that you can use those things to box yourself in and label yourself as, well, I'm this person and this, and have these strengths. That, you know, don't use that as a crutch or as a prison, but just as a space of awareness. Because I think when we understand better who we are and how we want to show up in the world and why we communicate and why we think the way that we are, then we're able to approach people with empathy and grace and openness. And that creates that positive momentum, because then they're able to receive it. We're more open to receiving that there are people around us that are different than we are. And we shouldn't have an expectation that everybody communicates and thinks and operates the same way that we do. But until we've really defined who we are and how we want to show up, we continue to struggle to make that connection. So I think it really starts in your heart with you. And once you start giving yourself permission to be the person that you want to be, a lot of that stuff comes more organically.
I agree. I agree that one of the key things to creating those positive relationships is starting with a place of who are you, and knowing that. And I know that I'm a positive, bubbly, like spew glitter all over the place person, but I know that. And I know sometimes when I walk into a room that might not be what I need to do, despite it being totally me. I need to ease people into that sometimes. Some people, it's like I open my mouth and like, ah! So realizing who we are, so that we know when there are certain situations where we don't need to be completely inauthentic, but where we might need to like scale it back a little bit or turn it up a little bit more. You know, and you know when if you know who you are, you know how to cultivate those relationships. I know the first hour my husband wakes up, I can't talk to him because I'm too much for him in the morning. So it's just a fact. But our final question is, what is one motto that you live by?
That's a tough one. But I'm going to fall back on my favorite Bible verse, which is Jeremiah 29:11. And that talks about, you know, that God will never leave or forsake us, and that he knows the plans that he has for us. And there's a particular version that says, plans to give you the future that you hope for. And for me, I have it tattooed on the back of my neck.
Yay!
I actually got that tattoo, strangely enough, after I had gone through my miscarriage and was trying to get pregnant with the twins and didn't think it was going to happen. And, you know, finally was like, you know what, I'm going to go get this tattoo. And actually, turns out I was pregnant at the time with the boys and I didn't know. So it was kind of a magical moment for me of realizing that the reason that particular version is important is that God knows the plans that he has for me, and he's not going to leave me high and dry. But it's important to me that God knows the future that I hope for, that it's that intimate, that he knows my dreams. He knows the things that I think about. He knows the things that I imagine. And he believes in that, and he is cultivating an environment where I can reach that. It may not look exactly how I think it looks, but it's important that I know that he knows that it's not just him dictating my path and I'm going to walk it. It's an interactive relationship grounded in love and interest and in a desire to know my deepest dreams. And I think that gives me hope for every day to come, you know, in good times and in bad, that he knows what he's doing. And it's not just him acting, you know, totally rogue, just doing what he feels like. He knows what he's doing because he knows how important this is to me. And that's important to him. So that inspires and motivates me to tackle every day knowing that I'm headed in the right direction.
Just trust that things will happen the way they need to happen to take you where you need to be. That's the way that boils down to me. You just have to have that trust that it's going to happen.
Katie, the conference is in May. It's the 4th to the 6th
Yes.
The Founders Inn. I want to give a plug because my ticket was sponsored last year, so I was actually gifted the opportunity to go. And I know Megan's goal is to sponsor someone this year as well. Mm-hmm. And I know I thankfully have had the pleasure to do that already, but I just wanted to let you know I am about to purchase a second ticket for someone else to go.
Yay!
And my goal is by May to have four.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because it literally, I'm where I am because Modern Femme were there and the tribe has supported every single step of your creation and Summer's, like, collective view of what this can actually do for someone. So I just wanted to say thank you before Megan signed off and, yeah, let you know there's another ticket coming through the sales today.
Woohoo! I'm so excited and I can't wait to see who ends up with it. And
me too.
You know, what they end up accomplishing on the planet.
I will be purchasing one as well. At least one, if not more than one. We'll have to see how amazing things happen. But they're coming at their own pace, and I'm just being patient that they will happen the way they need to happen. Exactly what you said, yeah. Katie, is just having that trust. So thank you, Katie. Modern Femme has changed both mine and Jules' lives. I hope that women will at least get involved. Even if you can't come to the convention, there is a Facebook group. There's the page, the Modern Femme Movement. You can find it on Facebook. We'll also link it up on here as well. And we hope that you guys, all of you women out there, because I know our audience is predominantly women, is that you will take this time to really fill your bucket with this community that's going on. So thank you again, Katie, for joining us. And I hope everybody has a fabulous day.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Yay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Inspired Women Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, write us a review, and share this out with your friends and family. See you next week.